It's another episode of 32 Fans, 32 Days. I don't even know if that's our name anymore because we're done with the 32 Days part. Maybe we're just 32 Fans again now. I think this is the saddest episode. This is probably the most depressing episode we're ever going to do. At least football related. I don't know. Maybe we'll cover some like real world tragedies at some point. But what do you think this podcast would have sounded like in September?
We did this in January already after the Blair Walsh game.
Yeah.
And because I'm a Vikings fan, I know this is going to, I knew it would come again, but I figured it would come in January again next year. I didn't think we'd be back in August.
Yeah. I mean, I was hoping that, you know, maybe you guys would make the Super Bowl and suffer a horrific loss there.
No, the horrific loss usually comes in the NFC title game more before.
But this came out of nowhere.
In my dad's lifetime,
even the most depressed Vikings fan couldn't have predicted this. Like maybe in week one, you know, I was telling you before, the Jets were at least the AFC favorite, if not the preseason Super Bowl favorite, 1999 after John Elway retired, and then Vinny Testaverde tears his ACL in the second quarter of opening day, and I didn't even watch it. I think it was Rosh Hashanah, I remember getting a call from my grandfather right after the holiday was over. He's like, Vinny tore his ACL, Leon Johnson tore his ACL. That seemed like a much bigger deal at the time. He was the backup running back and kick returner, but he was pretty good. The season's over. They lost 30-28 to the Patriots. Goodbye, Akiva. this is a little like that. Like, I mean, we haven't made our predictions yet, but with Teddy, were you going to predict the Vikings make the Super Bowl?
No, of course not. Again, in my dad's lifetime, the Vikings lost Super Bowls. In my lifetime, they lose NFC title games. And I'm not sure if I would have picked them there. I still think that the top of the NFC, I think, you know, they're probably the seventh best team in the league with Teddy, but five of the seven are in the NFC. So,
they had a Super Bowl ceiling in your mind with Teddy.
I guess so, but I don't think they were better than Carolina. I don't think they were better than Seattle or Arizona. I don't think they were better than
Green
Bay.
Yeah, but listen, Carolina could have been the one to lose their quarterback, and then you're for sure better than them. You know, Arizona could lose somebody, and then you're better than them.
There was incredible optimism going into the season. That's clearly the case.
I mean, you would have been shocked if they missed the playoffs with Teddy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so we're recording this now. This will probably be slightly out of date, but we're obviously working on the assumption that he's out for the season, which is a pretty safe bet.
Yeah.
I'm
concerned about the rest of his career at this point. Yeah.
Right. Possibly worse.
Like RG3 is an example of a guy.
So RG3 is a comp. But again, you know, if we're trying to be optimistic here, you know, he's not nearly as reliant on his legs as RG3 was. But some people say the legs were a problem. Too skinny.
Yeah, his legs were too skinny, obviously. I just don't understand how a non-contact injury can be so dramatic,
gruesome
that these football players who are not exactly, you know, like wimpish fellows are vomiting and crying on the field. Zimmer opened his press conference by saying...
There's probably not going to be video released of it, but if there was, would you watch it?
No, I never watched like that guy. Who was the guy in March Madness, the first game a couple years ago?
Kevin Ware.
On Louisville. Yeah, I never watched that. I don't need to see these things.
Yeah, I didn't watch some of the Olympic like gymnast horrific injuries.
When Deadspin tells me it's going to be terrible, I'm not going to watch it.
We need it anyway. Like, it's too depressing to talk anymore about. I guess we'll cover it more when we do our power rankings and playoff picks in a week or 2 weeks or whatever, doing them right before the season. We do have, you know, for some levity today, and we're not going to talk just the NFL. We're going to actually do, for the first time ever, we're going to have our college football preview. So we brought in the best guest we could possibly think of under these circumstances, someone who couldn't be happier about Teddy Bridgewater's injury.
Well, no, because he has him on his fantasy team.
Oh, that's true. So, Robbie, how conflicted are you about Teddy's injury? It's Superfan Robbie. He's here with us.
I mean, he's my third quarterback in a two-team league. So, I have Brady.
Who are you starting in September now?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
Sean Hill. Lots of fab money going to Sean Hill.
Probably Sean Hill, yeah. Sean Thrill. Not to be confused.
Did you
with
handcuff
his,
Teddy?
Half-brother Kenny Thrill.
Did you handcuff
Teddy? No. How do you handcuff Teddy Bridgewater?
It's not a 30-man roster.
Lamar Jackson, who replaced him at Louisville, who's 19, he looks great. So I'm sure that maybe the Vikings will draft him if it's a career ender.
But you also hate Teddy, so.
Yeah, well, I hate the Vikings, but only because Chester's pretty incredulous. I do have three comments I want to make on this, on Teddy. Mm-hmm. One, Chester, you're saying it's not that depressing of a day when Zimmer like tweeted that it's like worse than his wife dying.
Yeah, Zimmer's first comment. Zimmer's first comment at his press conference is 9 years ago. My wife passed away. The sun still came up that day, as it will tomorrow. I'm like, his own wife.
Chester said 24 people have already texted or IM'd him condolences.
Oh, it's more than that now. Yeah.
Yeah. And he wonders how that will compare to actual
tragedy. When my own parents die, I don't think I'll get that many people.
So the worst thing about it in the fantasy league, because it's a very active league, is I've gotten about 600 trade offers offering, because I have Antonio Brown and Julio Jones, like Alex Smith for Antonio Brown and Julio Jones. It's incredible.
Got to do it.
Well, okay. Two, Chester. I have some replacement quarterbacks for you.
Yeah, let's hear them.
What do you think about a duo of Brett Favre and Peyton Manning?
Oh, man. We would have to have like Geritol on the sideline just pumping through their veins.
By the way, going to tweet something about Peyton Manning later today. You know it.
Well, so ESPN right now, they're all talking about Colin Kaepernick, which obviously would be the ideal, I think. I think that
anytime you can't beat out Blaine Gabbert for a job, you should be ideal.
Yeah. Anybody who I've heard of, if they acquire anybody I've heard of, I'll be you know, over the moon. I'll be drinking the
Kool-Aid. I got some other ideas for you.
All right, by the way,
don't you think that Kaepernick, like, Minnesota's so weird politically, that's probably the best state to not stand up for the anthem?
That's the worst place he could be.
Yeah, you can't be in white bread Minnesota. Yeah,
train.
Yeah, but I mean, any place that like elects Jesse Ventura, all bets are off the board politically.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura doesn't believe in flags, except for false ones.
Maybe he could be the quarterback. Okay, yeah. A trio of Tim Tebow. Obviously, you got to mention him. Dennis Dixon.
Didn't he have
and
a
Pat
baseball
White.
A baseball tryout today?
Yeah,
David Ardsma smoked.
Do you remember this a couple of years ago? There was somebody, some Dixon, I guess there was a backup running back named Dixon who was available in waivers in our league because the starter got injured. And Shamir, a guy
Booby
in our league.
Dixon, yeah.
Oh, maybe it was Booby. Oh, on the Bills? Was that it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Shamir made a mistake and he bid 20 fab on Dennis Dixon.
Yeah, I do remember.
He from Oregon, but he was in the NFL technically, so he was available. But I didn't force him to
Dennis
do that.
Dennis Dixon was a college stud. I watched him torch Michigan. Torch.
Yeah.
Him and John Stewart.
Yeah.
And then Brady's going to be on the football field, but I know Jake Rudock is going to med school after his NFL career, so maybe you could use him to help Teddy. I don't know.
I don't know who that is even.
Oh, that was Michigan's starting quarterback last year. He's now the backup for the Lions.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's in the NFL? Oh, not bad.
Yeah.
Anybody I've heard of, they acquire, I'll be super pumped about it. It'll be delusional, but it'll be like, you know, when Favre came back in 2010 or whatever.
Chester could talk himself into Kurt Warner by next week.
I could talk myself into Kurt Warner's wife with the spiky gray hair right now.
Jesus. I like Aaron Murray. He's a backup somewhere. I think he can make it in the NFL.
Aaron
All right, Akiva, let's start with college football, and let's keep things depressing. Let's talk about a team whose coach nearly died on the sideline several times last year. Robbie, how bad is Minnesota going to be in the Big Ten this year?
How bad is Minnesota going to be?
Yeah, we're not playing Michigan, Ohio State. We're not playing any good teams.
You have the easiest schedule in the entire country. That was rated the number one easiest schedule.
They have no excuse.
By the way,
smooth
transition. You didn't even mention, Chester, that we're going to do a college football preview. And we're going to give Robbie one team per conference, and he's, you know, he doesn't know which team, and he's going to have to riff on whatever team.
Oh, so we're wasting Big Ten on Minnesota then.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. You know, I've liked the recruiting classes you've had, and the Clays seems to be better than Jerry Kill whenever Jerry Kill was actually on the field.
I don't know.
Jerry Kill had seizures and thus can't coach anymore. But your recruiting classes, you know, you've been putting up some big linemen, so we'll see. And the Big Ten West is pretty awful. So I don't think an 8-win season's out of the question, but that might be a stretch of stretches.
Michigan State listeners. Give us a quick hot take on Michigan State.
Well, I went to Michigan, and I was at that Michigan-Michigan State game last year. Yeah. Well, Michigan State, you've had four NFL quarterbacks in the last 8 years. I don't think your boy O'Connor is the next one. So I think they're going to take a huge, huge, huge step down this season, looking like 8-4, 7-5.
Do you like D'Antonio?
Oh, D'Antonio, I think's
he should be in the NFL. He should be the Lions coach.
He should be. He is a no-nonsense. He is a fantastic, fantastic, fantastic coach. He might be the coach that, other than like Harbaugh, Urban, or Saban, or like the top people you hear all the time, even Shaw, I think D'Antonio would be better. NFL, he runs a pro system, gets his players to play harder than anything. So a college thing is Michigan State fans are always disrespected and always tweet and talk about Michigan State disrespect. I'm giving them disrespect this year. I think Michigan's going to crush them in East Lansing.
And then like, who's going to win the Big Ten?
Oof. I want to say Michigan, but I think we're going to be 11-0 headed to that Ohio State game and lose that. So unless Ohio State finds two losses on their schedule in the Big Ten, they also play Oklahoma week three. I don't know. I think it's going to be a rough season for Michigan.
Hold on, Robbie. Is there any scenario where Ohio State beats Michigan, loses the Big Ten championship to, you know, whichever crappy team, the Nebraska or whoever comes out of the West? But Nebraska's got two losses, Ohio State's got two losses, and Michigan's got one. Is there any way Michigan can make the Final Four?
So I actually think this is a ripe year. The last few years, we've seen teams just run away into the top four or five. I think this is a ripe year to have non-conference, you know, 11-1 teams maybe taking the division. If Ohio State loses to Oklahoma and maybe another team, you know, they might have a loss or two, and Michigan might get in ahead of them. I mean, Nebraska... I'm not a Tommy Armstrong guy, and I thought...
Well, then who's going to win the West? Somebody has to.
I don't know. Iowa could repeat. Wisconsin, if you pull up their schedule, they literally have maybe the hardest schedule in the entire country. They play week one LSU at Lambeau.
Yeah, but they can still win the West with their hard
play. But they got the conference Michigan, schedule, they play Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State back to back to back.
Forget about them. Yeah.
So yeah, I am not a Paul Chryst guy at all. Barry Alvarez, their AD, former coach, has made that job very unpalatable to people. So, I mean, Gary Anderson left to go coach Oregon.
Right, but everyone
State.
Wins there. I mean, everyone has won there.
Yeah, but they. You, I mean, college football is one of those things you win until you don't. And yeah, are they going to really beat Michigan State on the road? I think they play in East Lansing this year. On the road, I don't think so.
All right, let's talk ACC.
Wait, I got one more question about Minnesota for a second. I saw, I forget if it was Todd McShay or Mel Kiper, but one of them had Mitch Leidner, the Minnesota quarterback, as like a third-round draft pick next year, which seems that seems insane to me. Like, I watch most Minnesota games. I watch most Minnesota games. They haven't had a quarterback in my lifetime.
No,
even when they've
had
good seasons. No, but I'm saying they've never. So how the hell would he go in the NFL draft, let alone on day two?
I have absolutely no idea. I mean, college football fans are like reading this and being like rubbing their eyes. It's like I actually think Northwestern could potentially win the West. I know that's probably a hot take, but it's like Trevor Siemian's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns in college. How do you think he's going to be good in the pros, Broncos? I don't understand. Like, that's not how, you know, going to the next level works.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk ACC, Robbie. Let's stick with the Miami Hurricanes. What do you think about the Hurricanes?
So Mark Richt has gone to Miami. He's an alumni of Miami, and Miami has Bradley Kaya, who will probably be the first quarterback taken. That might be a hot take. Deshaun Watson, then probably Kaya is the number two quarterback taken next draft as of right now. Josh Rosen is probably the best pro-style quarterback at UCLA, the sophomore, but he's a true sophomore. Half Jew.
Yeah, you just like him because he's a Jew. Did you read that article on SI?
Oh, no. He's apparently everyone is not a fan of the Chosen Rosen, but
yeah, because he's like
such a Jew,
bro. No, he's a bro. But did you see in that article? He said like he's like, I like UCLA, but I went for the wrong reasons. The reason to come to UCLA is because there's so many Jews in Hollywood with no athletes to root for, and now they have to root for me. that's what he said.
I mean, he gets it. I guess. Who knows?
Oh, who's Miami's best player, Robbie?
Bradley Kai is their best player. Yeah. Rick was an alumni of Miami, got fired at Georgia, which I thought was dumb.
I mean, they were in the permanent 9-3 zone, Georgia. You got the firing at a certain point.
I disagree with that. Georgia was literally a 1 foot away on an Aaron Murray pass from winning the game against Bama in the SEC championship game, going to play that weak Notre Dame 12-0 team and blowing them out in the national title. He has a national championship, Rick. It's a different story. That guy gets an extension for life. He's in Bob Stoops territory.
I mean, and that's 1 foot. Who do you like winning the ACC?
Everyone says it's a two-hoss race between Clemson and Florida State. I'm going to go with Florida State. Derwin James is real tough on defense. He's probably the best safety in college football. And Dalvin Cook could be the best offensive player in college football. Not to downplay Clemson's very, 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 very good. Deshaun Watson's obviously is probably going to be the number one quarterback taken, but for the second straight year, they've lost a ton of talent on defense. Shaq Lawson, Dobbs. So I think they take just a half a step back, maybe even make the playoff doing one of those things I think Michigan could do with one loss and kind of sneaking in. Clemson does not have a hard schedule. Florida State's schedule is kind of brutal. They open against Ole Miss, which is a tough game, and end against Florida, which is definitely not a cakewalk either. Clemson opens against Auburn, which who knows what they'll do this year.
I think of all people on earth who grew up in Manhattan, Robbie's the biggest college football fan.
I grew up in Westchester.
Oh, you did? You didn't grow up in the city?
Yeah, no, I have a few mutant friends who are pretty mutant. My Labor Day, I'm doing it. I don't know if the listeners want to hear this, but Chester could cut it out. I'm doing a 3-prong Labor Day college football trip where I start in Atlanta, Georgia for the Georgia UNC game, then go to Texas the next day for Texas Notre Dame, and then end up in Orlando for Ole Miss, Florida State. So wow. Hopefully I'll be alive by Tuesday. I'm going with a buddy to all of them, but then I have people, things in every city to kind of,
wow,
you know, jump on the tailgate.
All right. So Pac-12, let's talk Stanford. Oh,
David Shaw, it's his last year. He's going to go to the NFL after this year. Mm-hmm. I really feel.
Do you have a team in mind for David Shaw in the NFL?
Ooh. Well, that's really tough, right? Because, I mean, it's the NFL. Anyone could kind of
right.
just
I mean, Rex will get fired,
playoff.
Right? You could go to Buffalo.
No, I'm pretty high on the Jets. I think the AFC East is
pretty
strong.
The Bills.
Oh, the Bills. No, I'm pretty high on the Bills, too. I don't think he's getting fired.
Okay.
I think Rex is one more year there.
What about the Colts if Pagano gets fired? That's a good job.
That's
go
a
to
good
his,
job.
Go back to luck.
Yeah, that would make me happy. So all the rumors about Harbaugh leaving for Indianapolis will cease.
Listen, Harbaugh will stay 3 years. He'll probably win a championship, but that's not a guy who's staying forever. You know that.
No, I disagree. I think he's going to stay and become legend. And
go back to the NFL, or more likely some dumb SEC team will give him like $9 million.
He's a Michigan alum. There's no way he leaves.
There's no college program he's leaving Michigan for. I disagree, Akiva.
Only school that could literally just pay that much more than Michigan or that much more than Texas. Anyone. Florida is Texas. Texas. Yeah. But like you read these articles that Texas has too much money. I mean, like, and they just screw up the decisions. I mean, that's an interesting program. Should I get back to Stanford or no?
Yeah. Are you down on Stanford? Are you expecting them to, I mean, do they have any chance at making the Final Four?
Oh, for sure. I'd say if anyone's going to make it out of the Pac-12, it's Stanford. I don't think they're going to, and I'll tell you why in a little. But Stanford probably is the most exciting player in college football, Christian McCaffrey. He broke all of Barry Sanders' records. He's Ed McCaffrey's son, lightning fast. His little brother is committed to Michigan to play quarterback. He's like a receiver running back type. They just lost their quarterback, Ben Hogan, who started forever. So we'll see how that goes. I think Stanford's issue is the Pac-12 North is a lot of clutter. Washington State, for instance, is a terrible place to play. I believe they play on the road this year in Washington State. No one wants to play that air raid. Washington State's going to put up points. there's a thing in college football now with the hype train and University of Washington, UW, Josh Grashin alum, I think.
No, Grashin went to Brandeis.
He went to Brandeis.
He's a UW fan, I would assume. Oh,
yeah, a little bit.
He did go to Brandeis.
He's from Alaska, but pretends he's from Seattle City, can root for the Seahawks.
Anyway, I think Washington went 6-6 last year, but everyone's predicting them to go like 10-2 for some reason. I'm not on the hype train. They have who's their running back's like Galvin or something. They have a top 10 running back who's very good. They apparently have a loaded defense. I'm not buying the Washington hype train, but they're going to be solid this year. Oregon has Dakota Pruitt coming. I always call him Dakota Prescott for Dak, but he's going to be a fifth-year senior quarterback who transferred from the FCS. He's going to be tough. It's just a really cluttered conference where, you know, I could see a UCLA coming out of the South with three losses and kind of winning the conference. It's just really cluttered, and they don't get the hype because of the late games that the East Coast or Southern teams get.
All right, let's move to the Big 12 for a second. Talk to me about TCU.
So TCU lost two of their best players in maybe program history in Doxson and Boykin, their quarterback and receiver. Patterson, everyone talks about as a top five coach, potentially, definitely top 10. So they're going to reload. They're going to be good. I don't know if they're it's a great place to coach. They get good recruiting classes. I don't know if their recruiting classes are good enough year in and year out to replace those guys so easily and, you know, have a top tier defense. Last year, their defense was pretty weak. I could see them winning that conference gun to head, but most people are saying Oklahoma is going to take the Big 12. Kind of wouldn't shock me either way. Them in the playoff, I think, is a massive, massive, massive stretch. I don't really think they have a chance at the playoff. But, you know, Patterson's a great coach, a defensive mind, a defensive back's mind. I think, you know, if they get the turnovers, the issue in the Big 12 is no one really plays defense. So you're going to have Texas Tech or West Virginia put up 45, 50 points on you, and you got to score that amount of points.
And who's going to win the Big 12?
I think everyone says Oklahoma. It's hard to go against Baker Mayfield returning a quarterback. And I love, love, love Samaje Perine. Their running back is a stud. He's a monster. So I'm going to say Oklahoma, but, it's probably a two-hoss race between them and TCU. All the bad stuff that happened at Baylor, I think that's going to be a train wreck.
All right, is it too hard to give me anything on the American? Do you want to do Houston?
Houston's too easy, I think, with Tom Herman.
Fine. So let's talk
about degree of difficulty.
I could do like Iowa State. I love.
Okay, fine.
Campbell.
So let me give you my fake alma mater, UConn.
UConn, Bob Diaco. Oh boy, he's been there for like 3 years. I don't have much on the team itself. I think they're going to kind of be cannon fodder. The East is easier than the West in the
AAC. Do you
think
there's any, I mean, you know, UConn has become this like, legendary basketball school. Is there any hope for the long-term future? I mean, they don't have the right coach now, I don't think, but for the long-term future of like, listen, they made a BCS bowl, right? So,
they made a BCS bowl in the Big East. Michigan, who had one of their worst years in decades, played them that year and crushed them.
Yes.
So no, that was a very, very, very odd year where West Virginia, Rutgers, and all the decent Big East teams, Pitt at the time, were all down. I don't think, and Randy Edsall, left town as quickly as he could.
Does that automatically?
So that's the question. And then it's all about negotiating because you're going to need a new stadium, new recruiting grounds, new. I mean, college football is
You're going to have to pay a coach. Coach.
And each conference kind of negotiates this stuff differently. So UConn, and it's all done via TV market. So UConn would do nothing for say a Big Ten. who has Rutgers and the New York market already, but it would do a lot for the Big 12. But the Big 12 has their issues with the Longhorn Network. You know, I don't think UConn can ever, if they're not making it in the AAC, they're not making it. They have to win games here, and I don't see that happening.
And is Houston winning the American? Do you have Houston winning the American?
I really like Tommy Tuberville. I really like Cincinnati. They just benched Gunnar Keel, but everyone says Houston, right? They're so much better. Tom Herman's so good.
Is there any chance that they win this first game and go undefeated?
Houston? Yeah. There's a chance. They're 10-point dogs. But it's a quasi home game, even though Oklahoma will probably have more fans there. I don't know. Look, there are other teams in the West who are good. Tulane's going to sit on the ball. Navy's going to run their weird triple option. Memphis is going, you know, has a new coach, is going to fling from Arizona State, Norvell. They're going to fling the ball around. And Houston got really lucky with turnovers and fumble recoveries last year. Tom Herman's a great coach. I don't think they could go undefeated. I mean, you're going to have they also play Louisville at a conference. I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see undefeated happening. 13-0 is a lot of games to win.
Before we get to the SEC and close it out with some Final Four picks, give me something on Notre Dame.
Oh, no, all the good college football podcasts refuse to talk about Notre Dame, but
is that true?
As a protest, yeah, a lot of them are protesting Notre Dame. They'll just now we're talking about Notre Dame, and just hang up. Like the podcast will just end.
So should we do that so we have college football street cred?
Maybe Notre Dame has two great quarterbacks. Because they want them to join a conference. Damn. Brian Kelly's a great coach. They're going to be good. I'm going to the Notre Dame Texas game. I think Notre Dame's going to route Texas. Notre Dame's going to be tough. Their schedule.
They have a pretty easy schedule by Notre Dame standards this year.
Oh, so I think it's the opposite. I think everyone's gives them crap because they always think their schedule is easy. Like me, I always think their schedule is easy. I actually think their schedule this year is a little rougher. Let's bring it up.
Well, the thing is, you have to be, you know, if you want to be in the playoff picture, they're going to have to beat, you know, essentially a top 10 team in Michigan State or Stanford.
Well, Michigan State's not going to be top 10 this year. There's some tricky games.
Preseason
here.
Number 12.
Stanford's going to be top 10. Mm-hmm. And then at USC, they close the last game of the year. I mean, that's not Navy's good. Miami's okay. This is a legit conference, but a legit schedule. But are you going to put them? Say there's an 11-1. Clemson lost to Florida State, or Florida State lost to Clemson. I'd put Clemson especially Florida State with their schedule. I'd put Florida State ahead of Notre Dame if they both had one loss.
I don't know. Those one-loss Notre Dame teams, everyone seems to give them a lot of credit, even if they're not the fourth best team.
And then the other thing gets into, this has really been uncharted territory, except for 2014 with Ohio State and the conspiracy theories there. But, 15 people vote on this. They're all from conferences. They all have conference allegiance. If you want Notre Dame to join a conference, which everyone does, holding them out of the playoff is probably the best way to do it.
Or they could say, hey, you hold us out. We're not joining your conference, buddy.
Every conference, all five, they're going to join the AAC.
Yeah. I mean, listen, as long as they have the NBC deal, I don't think it's happening.
I agree. I agree completely. I mean, there's a way you could probably fix in the NBC deal into a conference, the Big 12.
And they don't have a lot of value
with the Longhorn Network. I mean, the Big 12 needs teams. They don't even have a championship game.
Right. All right. So let's go to the SEC.
I didn't do the Pac-12 South. I think UCLA is going to take the conference with three losses. I like Mora. I really like Josh Rosen.
Where is Rosen going to go in the draft?
He's going to go one overall. He is.
He will, for sure.
He should. I'm all in on him. I think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. Showed a lot.
I'm not ready to have a Jewish quarterback. That's good.
Sid Luckman.
Like, I was okay with Jay Fiedler, but I don't know if we could have a good one.
Well, there were rumors that Dan Orlovsky was Jewish, but I don't think he is.
Well, I, don't really I just said good when quarterback.
When he ran out of the back
anyway.
Of the end zone, yeah, he said.
Yeah,
good
listen, yeah. Hopefully that wasn't the Jewish side. I'm going to give you an SEC team, Vanderbilt Commodores.
So they're all defense. Derek Mason, a Harbaugh disciple, coach for Shaw at Stanford as the D coordinator. Vanderbilt opens the year, I believe, against South Carolina, and that might be the most boring game you'll ever watch. It's going to take about an hour and 20 minutes. They're both all defense. We'll have no offense.
By the way, an hour and 20-minute game sounds great. I have to be honest with you.
Oh,
these college games are going 4 hours the last few years.
Yeah, well, some of these games are not. Missouri, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt all play each other this year, and Florida. And I promise you, those games are going to be fast. Like, there is, it's running, and punting. And good defenses and questionable at best offenses. Vanderbilt, you know, it's going to be more of the same for them. Rough division, rough conference. I can't see them making a bowl game this year. Can't see it.
All right, so who are the real contenders in the SEC?
Well, obviously Alabama. I have LSU beating them and taking the West. I think Bama will drop two this year. Hot take.
They're going to lose to LSU and who?
I don't know. Good question.
But losing two means you don't have them in the Final Four.
Yeah, I don't have them in the Final Four.
So you have LSU winning the conference, and so now give us your Final Four.
And then I think either Texas A&M, Auburn, Arkansas, one of these guys, Ole Miss, you know, upset them, Tennessee.
But not a one-loss team necessarily.
Alabama? No, I think they're going to lose two this
year. No, I'm saying that, like, if Texas A&M beats them, that doesn't mean that A&M's going 12-1 and making the Final Four.
No, I think LSU is going to go 12-1 and make the Final Four.
So who's joining LSU? Michigan?
I got to say my boys in blue. Yeah. Ugh.
So you think they're going to lose to Ohio State and then
Chester, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to work. Maybe I'm going to the game in Columbus. Full disclosure of the last 10 times I cried, 8 were about Michigan losing to Ohio State. So I'm not expecting a lot, but
by the way, the last 10 times Chester cried, all 10 were today about Teddy Bridgewater.
Robbie, emotionally, I'm very fragile thinking about this game. But
Robbie,
I'm going to say Michigan.
How much would you pay in cash out of your own pocket to guarantee a spot in the Final Four right now?
Easily $100,000. Easily
$100,000.
Easily.
You're being serious? $100,000 to guarantee just to guarantee a place at the table?
Yeah.
I mean, easily. That's our starting bid.
So here's my question, because there's some Michigan fans who
and I don't even need credit for it. I don't want credit for that.
Yeah. Oh, no. So it'd be anonymous. No one would know.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Stephen Ross
is giving $100 million.
No, I just buy tickets. I'm only going to one. I'm going to one home game in Michigan and three road games.
Mm-hmm.
What would you rather beat Ohio State and not make the Final Four, or lose to Ohio State but make the Final Four?
Oh boy! So before the playoffs, I would always say such a college football question. Before the playoffs, I would always say the only game that matters, Ohio State. And since I've been at Michigan, I think we're 1-10 against them. But now you have to say the playoff. It's also because college is not like the NFL in that. Well, maybe then you can make the argument the NFL is like this, but college success breeds more success. Alabama gets the best recruits because they're the best team, and they're the best team because they get the best recruits, so on and so forth. Ohio State's the second best team year in, year out, and gets the second best recruits year in, year out for that reason. So one game a year, you know, I think that's a short-term answer. You used to see South Carolina upsetting Clemson every year with Spurrier upsetting Dabo. And, you know, eventually it just catches up to you. The good recruiting classes get you to national titles, and now South Carolina could easily go 3-9 this season.
Your best season was the year that I was there, that I lived in Ann Arbor.
My junior year.
Yeah.
Was our best year.
When you lost 42-39 to Ohio State.
Yeah, 2006 football season. You're right. Yeah. On the bad call that they made on Troy Smith, hitting the guy in the head, Sean Crable. Yeah.
So would a Michigan title this year, whether you paid for it or not, where would that rank on your life moments all time?
Oh, it has to be close to number one. One, mm-hmm. probably. Yeah, I don't have probably kids yet, so yeah.
Oh, then for
let's
sure.
Let's go number one. And I like, I'm a Giant fan, but I was relating this to someone. I think of it as, imagine you own a huge real estate endeavor that's like $100 million. That's my Michigan Wolverines. And then you have a stock portfolio of $1,000. That's my New York Giants.
Oh, wow.
I would have the Giants go 0-16 every single year for the rest of my life for a win against Ohio State.
Even though the Giants are a generational thing, I assume, whereas, you know, before you turned 18, you couldn't care less about Michigan.
Yeah. Well, so my family is really taking up the Michigan banner.
Because of you.
Because of me, yeah. But my brother and dad.
Why not
follow Hopkins? Michigan? Yeah, Hopkins basketball, maybe. My brother and dad follow recruiting. I mean, obviously, I follow Michigan recruiting. They follow recruiting probably more than me now. Because if you're not following 17-year-old kids on Twitter, what are you doing?
Yeah.
All right. So
by the way, at the top of this podcast, Robbie, you made a joke about the Vikings acquiring Peyton Manning. Mm-hmm. My brother is currently in China, so it's like 12 hours ahead. So mm-hmm. he only woke up like half an hour ago. We're recording this at 8 p.m. in New York, so it's 8 a.m. in China. He woke up half an hour ago, and he's just sending me like nonstop messages, WhatsApping me, like, what the hell's going on?
With Teddy. That's amazing.
Yeah, and he just said to me totally seriously, he's like, so what are the chances we can get Manning? And I'm like, Peyton? I'm like, Cooper? And I thought he was joking. I'm like, Peyton? He's like, He's like, well, he just won the Super Bowl. I'm like, so my brother's dead serious.
Who would you rather have, honestly, Sean Hill or Peyton Manning?
Peyton Manning.
Okay. Well, you right, maybe you should be your starter then.
Sean Hill? I would take Peyton Manning right now.
Okay,
you could let Manning sit like once a month. That could be his deal. So he doesn't get
He won a Super Bowl with a great defense and a great running game. The Vikings have that already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he wore down 2 years ago as the season went on. So you really needed to let him sit like he did last year.
I would feel guilty because like when I saw Brett Favre nearly die on that frozen field in that Bears game in 2010, like Peyton Manning could suffer an injury that would make Teddy's look like a stub toe. So I would feel very guilty if I was responsible for the greatest football player of all time getting dramatically injured because he was in a game he shouldn't be playing when he's 40 years old. So probably Peyton is not the answer here.
Did you read the Vikings statement that came out since we started the podcast?
No, I've been refreshing Twitter constantly, but what is that?
That he suffered a non-contact injury. The injury was quickly identified. Injury was stabilized. He was sent to the hospital. He went under an MRI. He suffered a complete tear to his ACL and other structural damage. Yeah. Fortunately, there appears to be no nerve or arterial damage. Surgical repair is necessary in the next few days. Although the recovery time will be significant, we expect Teddy to make a full recovery. I'd like to thank all the medical professionals. Nah. This is from the doctor.
I mean, look, Adrian Peterson came back in 11 months, but Adrian Peterson's also like not really human. So, whereas Teddy has skinny little legs. So.
Wasn't it less than 11 months Peterson came back in? It was only 11.
Well, yeah, he got injured in December. That's right, and he was playing in September. So, yeah, it's like
so,
9
I mean,
months, really.
12 months for Teddy. I mean, he might miss the training camp and preseason, but I don't think it's so crazy that he could play.
All right. So, wait. So, we have your final four. We said we have Michigan. That was number two, right? We had LSU and Michigan.
LSU. Is Oklahoma in your final four?
Yeah, I'll throw Oklahoma in there.
And which ACC team,
not happy about it. And then, you know what? No. Take Oklahoma out. I'm going to go two ACC teams.
Okay,
I'm going to go with the non-conference winner. Clemson and Florida State. And then they're going to have to screw some. One's going to be undefeated. I'll say maybe they both have one loss.
Well, they're not going to play each other, right?
Clemson plays Florida State.
Yeah. No, I mean in the Final Four, they're not going to play each other.
Yeah, I know. So they'll jiggle it up so one plays the other. I think Michigan will beat one and LSU will beat one, and then I think LSU is going to win the national title. I think they're ripe. When everyone counts, Les Miles, the Mad Hatter out, he delivers. Michigan alum.
Wow. LSU. Les Miles.
LSU is
who wins the Heisman this year?
I want to say a random. I think Luke Falk at Wazoo is going to throw for 6,000 yards this year. Legitimately, mm-hmm. 6,000 yards. Dakota Pruitt, I think, could come out. I mean, everyone's talking about these running backs, but
Seems like the media wants it to be McCaffrey so badly.
McCaffrey should have won last year. It should have been two guys: Dalvin Cook or Christian McCaffrey, without a question. You look at the numbers; it's one or the other. The issue with McCaffrey is no one watches their games because The games start
1 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah. So the games end at 3 a.m. No one's watching this, and it's not.
I mean,
like
Robbie,
Stanford
by the time McCaffrey
score.
Takes in that opening kickoff, you've usually been in the same location for what, like 13 consecutive hours. You're several drinks
yeah.
in.
Yeah,
it's hard to focus by that point.
It's really tough. I mean, you don't know if he's returning a kick, a punt, or just running the ball. You know, people yeah. are just chasing him around the field. And Dalvin Cook's absolutely bananas good. Bananas. I mean,
if somebody would have said to you in 1997, you see that really tall, awkward white guy that John Elway's throwing the ball to? His son is going to be the most athletic player in college football in 20 years. There's no way we believe that, right?
Yeah, Dylan McCaffrey next year, Michigan Wolverine.
Oh, is that the next son?
Yeah, and he has a youngest son. I forget his name. Not creepy enough to follow 15-year-old boys on Twitter, but he's going to probably go to Michigan also. We're very excited for the entire McCaffrey family to become blue. So that'll be very exciting.
You're talking about Wazoo's quarterback and maybe winning the Heisman. Do you remember when like there was a big thing about how like Mike Leach, Washington State's coach, was like really like best friends with Donald Trump, and they would play that up as like this like cute story?
Don't remember that. Mike Leach is nuts.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, when
these
yeah,
college
Leach
football
is,
coaches make your NFL coaches, like they make
no, but
like,
Leach is much crazier yeah. than so. Yeah, when Texas Tech was really good, that you know the main Michael Crabtree year.
Yeah,
it was always like these big pieces on like ABC before the games or like ESPN about how like you know Trump would always send Mike Leach notes, and they were like best friends, and they loved each other.
They're probably still best friends. I mean,
yeah.
I
so like Mike Leach could be in the cabinet next year.
Yeah,
he could be the ambassador to like the United Kingdom or something.
Well, I know I'd probably go with a third world country because I know Pullman, I believe, is the furthest Power Five school from a interstate or an airport. So getting there is a home field advantage for them is pretty good because apparently it's really
yeah,
really
a lot of road games. I was reading something about Hawaii's team travel today. It was pretty interesting.
Oh boy, they played Friday. In Sydney, Australia, and then seven.
That
and
was
a half
like, by
days
the way,
later,
that was like a divisional game going to Australia for them. That was close.
7.5 days later, they play a noon game, 6 a.m. Hawaiian time in Ann Arbor. So my Wolverines,
how much are you guys paying them for that game?
So that's what they do, you know. You take these impossible games for 2 or 3 years, and then in 2 or 3 years, you try to win your conference.
Was part of the condition that Hawaii had to go to Australia first before they came to you guys?
And not only that, we're playing them at noon. It's, you know how people talk about the west to east travel. It's 6 a.m.
Yeah, you
should have
made that
time.
8 a.m. Honestly,
like it's insane. We should have made it a 4 o'clock game.
All right, so we might have to have Robbie on during the season, Chester. We didn't cover college football at all last year, but yeah. You know, both of our football teams right now have completely incompetent quarterbacks.
Who's your you're Bob Diaco. No,
we're talking the NFL. If our NFL teams are terrible, then maybe we could supplement it with a little extra college coverage this year. Maybe we'll have Robbie be our college football correspondent, and we can keep up with his quest for the so if Michigan makes the Final Four, you'll go to both games, right? You'd go to a finals and a semifinal and a final, right?
Yeah, that's without a question. I will be there. I mean, we generally do something for Christmas break, my family. We're Jewish, but
you could cancel
it. It doesn't matter where it is or when it is. I will be in Tampa, Florida, or Glendale, Arizona, or Atlanta. I will be there.
I asked Chester today right after, you know, 5 minutes after Teddy fell, when like the reports started coming in, and we said like, hey, it's probably bad, but we don't know yet. And I said, you could right now guarantee that Teddy Bridgewater, it's just like a sprain and he'll be fine for like week two or something. You guarantee it right now, but you're signing away Hillary, that Trump is becoming president. That's what you're signing up for.
Mm-hmm.
And Chester wouldn't agree to it. So he's not a real Vikings fan.
No, he's not a real Vikings fan. We always knew that.
Because if you said like, you know, I mean, I don't care if Ryan Fitzpatrick gets hurt. I mean, I hope he's like healthy and stuff. But, you know, if you said like the Jets will make the Super Bowl, but, you know, the president's going to be like Jill Stein, I'll be like, fine, that's okay.
I mean, that's the difference between college, why college fans are much better than NFL fans. You get fans like Chester who, you know,
Fairweather
think
fans.
What Adrian Peterson did was abhorrent, was abhorrent, while you have fans at like Missouri and Baylor claiming that Art Briles and Gary Pinkle are saints, and they, you know,
right. Well, first of all, you go to
where they suspend the Baylor player.
Penn State.
Like, yeah, you go to a Vikings fan. Most of the people in the to a Vikings game, most of the people in the crowd are still wearing 28 jerseys in purple. So,
I mean, pretty outrageous. But yeah, Chester, pretty. So I have one more question for you, Alex. Yeah. Can I ask it? All right. Yeah. How far off are we from Minnesota now that Cleveland has a championship? Minnesota being the losing city.
Ooh, that's a good
question. City of losers.
Well, so this was brought up when Cleveland won. Minneapolis is now the longest running city with a team in at least three of the four major sports. And in Minnesota, of course, it's all four. They've gone the longest without a title because they haven't since 91. Washington, which won the Super Bowl, just a couple months after the Twins, you know, the 91 season, but that was January of 92, is next.
Yeah, but I mean, the standard is three teams or more, right? But like, we're 14 yeah, or more, like... It doesn't well, Buffalo have the crown now, even though they only have two teams?
No, but Buffalo's only two teams. No. But here's the reason I think Minnesota is not the answer is because it's sort of the way Boston, like the Red Sox were cursed, but it wasn't the city as a whole. So Minnesota, the Vikings are already seen as a cursed franchise, but nobody thinks that about the Twins because they do have two World Series in the last 30 years. And the Wild and the Timberwolves are both two, you know, they're both basically still seen as expansion teams, so nobody really cares.
Nobody sees the Timberwolves as an expansion team. This is going to be like, I think this is year 30 coming up, Chester.
Yeah, exactly. But nobody thinks of the Timberwolves. Nobody thinks of the Timberwolves as some long-suffering franchise. Like, nobody thinks of the Magic. Nobody cares. Any franchise that's
Listen, you had one of the 20 best players ever, and you got it in the first round once.
Any franchise that's younger than us, nobody thinks of any franchise that was born in the 80s or 90s as long suffering.
Mm-hmm. Because the millennial franchise,
it's got to be generations. You know, there got to be generations. Yeah. So
you, when was the last time a Minnesota team made the finals? I was just wondering.
Made a finals appearance. You're saying?
Yeah,
so that's
1991.
That's 91 as well. Yeah,
long time.
Yeah, it's pretty
15
pathetic.
Years. Yeah, pretty bad. I think the Buffalo Sabres made it since then, right? And the Bills.
The Buffalo Sabres made it when we were in 10th grade. The Bills obviously made it, you know, 4 years in a row. Yeah, it's not just that Minnesota hasn't won a title, it's that they haven't even been in the title game.
Yeah, city of losers is what it is. Well, this year, Sean Thrill. You have Sean Hill, so that's good.
All right, this was fun. I like doing this. Robbie knows a lot about college football. He's a good guest. Are you a draft guy also, Robbie?
Yeah, I mean, when they're really random players and teams, it's hard to kind of know them, but like I'll know the big time players.
Are you crazy about Wolverines in the NFL or not? You know, you give up on them once.
Well, there's so few now, but no, I hate that. I'm not a Devin Funchess guy because I'm not a Brady Hoke guy. I think Brady Hoke, now the defensive coordinator at Oregon.
So anybody who was there in the Hoke era, you're against?
No, I love Denard. Love Tom Brady, obviously. Yeah, I like my Wolverine. Love Chad Henne. Absolutely adore Chad Henne. I like my Wolverines. They're just few and far between here. Like Braylon Edwards.
Gotta be like 20 of them in the NFL, no?
Oh, there's a lot. Yeah. They're more random. Like Alan Branch. Is he still on Arizona? Or where's he? They're random guys. Lamar Woodley, is he still in the league? I had freshman English with him.
So you missed the Charles Woodson era.
Yeah, 97, I was way too young.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been a good time to be there. Should have been born a couple years late, earlier.
I should probably not have this on the podcast. My cousin, who was in DeFi, like Jen, but at a different era, she told me that Woodson used to have these parties on campus. They lived in like some off-campus house, him and I assume his teammates, whoever his roommates were. And no girl was allowed in the party unless she was topless. Mm.
Same thing with me and YU.
Go Maccabees. Yeah. Akiva, I thought you were going to go harder, like quiz me on like Wake Forest football or Purdue.
No, you know, but the thing is, I would, but I also feel like people, like, what if a real college football fan's listening? They don't want to hear about Wake Forest, you know?
Oh, the claw fence?
Yeah. Wolverines in the NFL. What about my the bane of my existence, the slowest guy in the league, David Harris?
David Harris. I love David Harris. So my friend was a starting quarterback at Northwestern while I went there. And CJ Bechet, I think he runs a podcast too. but he said David Harris was one of the best players, if not the best player he ever played against, and hit harder than anything.
No, I mean, he's so still like
I love
good.
David
he's
Harris.
Just,
he's just not fast.
He's literally the slowest guy in the NFL at this point. Like he was Herzlig could
give him a lack of run for his money. Oh boy, that guy does not move.
All right, so we got the news on Teddy during the podcast, Chester. You know, knowing that if this is just a one-year injury, maybe it slows his progress for 2017, but not the actual 2017 season. What do you think?
NFL windows are really small.
I know.
If you have a chance to be good in a given year, it's not like, all right, we got next year.
I mean, do you trade Adrian Peterson right now? Like, wouldn't that be a good move?
He has no trade value. Again, I wanted to cut him. He has no trade value. They've tried desperately for 2 years. I think they should have cut him outright. You know my opinion on Adrian Peterson.
What if it was Peterson who like tripped him, and that's really how he had the injury? Like, he's teaching Peterson a lesson he'll never forget.
Oh man, I think I might be I would shot Adrian Peterson. we'll edit this out. That's
okay. Yeah. Chester edits out all his bad jokes, Robbie. You have no idea. I don't even know what he's talking about.
I could imagine. Chester, I don't think, I'm not an expert, but I don't think you'd beat him in a fight.
Who, me and Adrian Peterson?
Yeah.
Well, that's why I said I'd shoot him.
I also think he probably has better access to guns than you do.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that's definitely like chains and whips and stuff. That we know for sure.
You could write a mean tweet about
switches.
Him.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right, so Rob, first of all, Robbie's a very good podcast voice. He's got a good radio voice. It's distinct.
Because he smoked 8 cigarettes right before he came on.
I've never smoked anything voice? In my entire life.
I know. But I'm just saying it sounds like it. I'm saying.
Can't be putting my
sorry, I didn't mean to
false information like in the streets.
Robbie's very, very big into working out.
That means a lot, Akiva.
Do you what's your workout regimen? You know, I'm looking to get into shape.
I've been doing boxing recently. Yeah. It's the best.
How
workout
much time
ever,
a day do you dedicate to this?
Maybe an hour.
No, that's like 58 minutes more than I'm willing to put in.
If you do one of the videos and just stick by it, you'll get in good shape. Any of those like crazy videos they do, you'll get in good shape. It's all about just following a regimen.
I have a regimen. It's mostly about Chinese food and stuff, though.
Yeah, you have kids though, so yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Once you have kids, I don't know how your time goes. Wait, so I do have a question. As a fan who would pay for the podcast, as your super fan, what is the ultimate goal? Just to get millions of listeners?
No, I think we like being small. That's not even the goal. I don't think there is a goal. We started this as a project, right? Just to do 32 podcasts in 32 days. And for some ridiculous reason, I haven't figured out yet, we never stopped doing it. We decided to go through the NFL season, I think assuming we'd be done at the end of the NFL season. And then we sort of stumbled on like the format of like lists and brackets and stuff, which, you know, pretty quickly.
It was basically the stuff we were IMing each other about every day anyways. We said, let's just talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, it took us from February to August, like pretty quickly. And then we were just back to the NFL. And I think this is the easiest part of the year is the once a week. You talk about last week's games, preview next week's games. That's like that's the heart of the podcast, even more than like the namesake 32 Fans 30 Days, because that's just so much work to get the 32 fans in.
Yeah.
Oh, so the chances of doing 74 college football fans in 74 days is done?
Yeah, I was thinking about like an NBA thing, because we've been talking to some NBA fans. That would be interesting. If we spoke to like fans of like maybe all 16 playoff teams.
No, then we're going to do that. And then Carl Anthony Towns is going to get in a car accident with Byron Buxton or something. And
Byron Buxton. I think that would be good for the Twins if he got a new car.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Byron Buxton can't stay healthy anyways.
Well, I know the Syracuse Orange Max, fan Max that Kepler. You just cut out of your podcast is very upset about it.
I don't think there's a goal, though. I think, you know, we like doing it. When we stop liking it, we'll probably stop doing it. But I think it's fun. And we could stop right now. This could be the last episode. I think ultimately one of our wives will just put their foot down and say it's me or the podcast. And if it's me, I'll probably choose the podcast. But if it's Chester.
Very funny. You guys do a good job. I mean, like I'm the super fan, so I hope I think you do a good job. But,
yeah. All right. Well, Robbie, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck to your Wolverines this year.
Thanks. Appreciate it. My emotional My everything's on the line for this.
Bad luck. Bad luck to your fantasy football team this year.
It doesn't matter. My fantasy team. You could tell them my roster. It's so good. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. That's how good.
The season hasn't even started, and your guys are dropping like flies. So.
It's your guy.
It's true.
All right. Bye.